T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
It's going to be a nice weekend, actually. Highs of 83 today with a 30% chance for showers. Then tomorrow and Sunday, a 40% and 50% chance, respectively, for rain. Highs of 80 to 81. And then come Monday, y'all ready for this? Highs not even getting out of the 70s. Highs of 79. And then Tuesday, first day of fall, and heading into next week, it looks like we're going to be in the low to mid 80s for highs. About time, better than mid-90s, right? Dr. Fred Lopez joins us now, as always, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans, and he is here to answer your coronavirus questions. So if you have any about vaccines or what have you, text him into the mortgage financial phone and text line at 504-260-1870, and I'll pass them along to Dr. Fred. Morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. So when it comes to, you know, fall, and I was mentioning haunted houses earlier, and Kansas City Chiefs announcing, or the NFL did at least, that one person at the game tested positive for COVID-19, how concerned are you as we get into fall and everything that comes with it, be it haunted houses, Halloween, I guess school dances? I don't know if they're going to have those anymore, but in general, that we could have a flare-up again just because so many of these things are ingrained into our lives, if you want to call them rituals of fall or what have you?
Yeah, I think there's concern anytime gatherings occur because of the fact that it'll bring people potentially together who are not wearing masks, who are not practicing physical distancing, and that will increase the risk for transmission. That would include Halloween, haunted houses, for example, unless they're very specific public health interventions which are pursued in those settings. So I think they would be difficult to implement in some cases. The other concern is the fact that temperatures are going to get colder all over the United States, and people are going to tend to go indoors. And just like for the flu season, when you go indoors and you're closer to one another, in terms of distance, the transmission risk is going to increase, both for COVID and for flu. And so, again, there's another reason to be concerned about a potential surge, if you will, in the fall. It does typically happen with the flu, and there's no reason to believe that it won't happen with COVID. Now, one of the encouraging signs about the flu that touched on that I think bears reinforcing is that the Southern Hemisphere flu rates have been markedly decreased this year because of the COVID interventions in large part. The fact that the viruses transmit similarly through respiratory droplets means that physical distancing and masking and frequent hand washing will decrease not just COVID rates, but they'll decrease flu rates. And the fact that some countries like Australia have been really quite good at increasing their flu vaccination rates this past flu season, because, again, their flu season is ending now, has also markedly driven down their flu cases. And the hope is that we will see a marked reduction in flu this fall and winter for similar reasons, that COVID interventions work for decreasing flu transmission, but also hopefully that people will buy into getting vaccinated this year against the flu and perhaps defy our previous data that shows that less than 50% of Americans American adults get their flu shot on an annual basis.
Along those lines, somebody texts in here and asks, since there is so much of a push to get people to get the flu shot, will there be enough flu vaccines to go around?
Now, unfortunately, there have been more than enough flu shots available each year than have been used. This year, there will be a record number. My understanding is it's going to approach 200 million doses that will be available. And I hope we can get through all of those and exhaust those supplies. That means that we're doing a better job at encouraging people to get vaccinated. Less than 50% vaccination rate for a universally recommended vaccine is just too low, and particularly this year with COVID-19 and flu co-circulating in our communities, if there's ever been a reason to get the flu shot, and there has been, this is an even increased incentive for doing so, to take it out of the equation so we don't overwhelm our healthcare system. We don't know what the effects are going to be in people, for example, who might get infected with both viruses. There are some cases of people being infected at the same time by COVID and flu, and what does that mean in terms of outcomes, survival? It's really too early to tell, but we don't want that to be part of the concerns that we have. We want to take the flu out of this because we have a very effective flu vaccine that's available. One-time dose for adults. It is different than last year's flu vaccine, but it, in general, predicts quite well what flu viruses are going to be circulating based on the data from the, from other areas, and we should avail ourselves of it in order to, again, take the flu out of the equation.
All right, we take a break, pick it up here. We come back. Somebody texted in, and I think it's an interesting question about vaccine and timing of when it's going to be ready. And should we worry, is what the text says, that the CDC is rushing, will rush, or the FDA, whoever it is that approves the vaccine, will rush it to get it done by the election. I don't understand, and this is not your bailiwick, Dr. Fred, but I don't understand why the president is setting this deadline rather than saying, you know what, we're doing everything we can. This vaccine has to be safe. We're following all of the protocols. I think that would be a better political message to send than setting some type of date that either could make people feel as though it's being rushed or that won't be met. It just, I don't understand the political aspects of that, but we can talk about the scientific aspects in terms of vaccine, testing, safety, etc. when we come back. 7:21, it's time for traffic on WWL. 7:26 now, Friday, September 18th. It's going to be a little cooler than it has been. Highs only in the lower 80s throughout the weekend. Chances for showers increase 30% today, 40% tomorrow, then 50% Sunday. We're talking to Dr. Fred Lopez, professor of medicine in the section of infectious diseases at LSU Health New Orleans. Just my personal opinion, it seems as though every time we try to do some type of messaging as a country, we stumble all over it, and now it seems as though when it comes to vaccine, is there a rush to get it done? Certainly, but you want to make sure that it's safe. You don't want to have the people perceiving that it's being rushed, and as a result, they're not going to get it. A vaccine that is not taken, I don't think is going to do anybody any good. Dr. Lopez, talk about all of that, really, will you, about the vaccine for COVID-19, about people taking it, about availability, the tests that are ongoing, and time frame, et cetera?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of attention, obviously, because of the forecasts from different individuals regarding when it will come to fruition. I think, you know, the optimistic views say, you know, it'll be available within the next couple of months. And that may very well be the case, but I think if it does become available within the next couple of months, it's going to be restricted initially to people who are most vulnerable for complications from the disease, and to those frontline healthcare workers who are at greatest risk for acquiring infection. So Again, these supplies initially would be much more limited. They'd have to be prioritized, and I do think they would be, again, prioritized for those patient populations or individuals that I just mentioned. I don't think general vaccination will be administered until later in the next calendar year. I think that's probably more realistic if we're thinking about just vaccinating the general public. I think that's a ways away and is going to require quite a bit of coordination in terms of materials needed, how to distribute. Again, we talked about who get it first and then later who will get it. Hopefully supplies and conditions for refrigeration, because some of the vaccines require colder temperatures than others. And I do think they're going to be different vaccine makers who are bringing these vaccines to the market. And again, not all of them will be the same in terms of just even storage conditions. So there are going to be a lot of challenges to get this underway. Look, I do think that we need to be cognizant of the fact that this vaccine has been developed at a really rapid pace. The number of people and companies and universities and scientists involved has been remarkable. And the fact that we're talking about so many possible vaccine candidates is really great. And hopefully we will have something as soon as possible. But as you mentioned, it has to be done in a way that brings something that's not only effective but also safe. And I think these recent pauses on the vaccine trial sponsored by the Oxford University vaccine makers, if you will, is good validation of the process by which we need to develop vaccines and making sure that any adverse effects are not due to a vaccine that might be generally released to the public at some later point. So again,
Lord
I think
knows.
Going to go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Doc.
I was just going to say going through these regulatory phase studies is important. And I do think with all of the attention that's been bestowed upon the vaccine development that we will have something that is not only effective but also safe before it's distributed in this country.
Thank you, Doctor. Have a good weekend. Time now, WWL First News. For that, we go to Dave Cohen.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.